What turns you off?
Oh, gosh. Okay. Someone who's like too jealous of what I do. If you're going to make me feel weird about someone I'm in the studio with, the fact that I have to work at night, the fact that I have to go to events, the fact that I have to look hot or any of those things. Ew.
Yes. Are you talking about men specifically?
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you experienced that a lot?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Hello and welcome to High Low with Emrata. It's Tuesday, which means we have a brand new interview. If this is your first time listening, or if you're a regular, welcome. If you're into recording artists and musicians, we've recently had Kelly Rowland, Troye Sivan, and Victoria Monet on the show, just to name a few. This week on High Low, Tinashe. She is a triple threat, singer, dancer, and actress. And we're going to get into the highs and lows and everything in between with Tinashe right after this break.
Welcome back to High Low with Emrata.
Hi, Tinashe. Thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Really excited. Congrats on the new album.
Thanks.
Can you tell me a little bit about the album and what it sounds like?
Yeah, I think this album, it kind of represents who I am right now as an artist, and it feels like it touches a lot of different genres, which I think is something that I really love to play with and not kind of be married to like one particular sound I like to play. So there's some songs on there that feel a little bit more R&B. There's some that feel a little bit more electronic. There's some that feel like drum and bass, some that you want to dance to, some that you want to just vibe to. And I think that somehow they all still feel really like me. And I think that's probably the most exciting thing for me. So I hope the fans like
that
it.
That sounds really fun.
Yeah,
I love that. I like that there's so much of that happening now in music where you can cross genres and all in one album too.
Absolutely. It didn't used to be that way, I feel.
I was going to say, you've been doing this for a long time. Can you talk about how you got started?
Yeah. I mean, I initially got started in entertainment when I was a kid. I was 5 when I was in my first movie. So this has been like a lifelong journey, how I got to music. But I think I always knew I wanted to do music. I didn't really have like any in, like my family aren't, you know.
You're not a Nepo baby?
No, I'm not a Nepo baby.
Okay.
So I didn't have like any way into the music industry. And I was doing a musical, actually, and one of the girls in the cast was like, hey, I'm making this girl group. Would you like to be in it? And I was like, I mean, I always kind of wanted to be a solo artist, but I was 14. So I was like, let's see what happens.
Yeah.
So I joined this girl group, and that was kind of the beginning of my, I guess, learning just what it's like to be in the music industry, to go on tour. We went on tour with Justin Bieber. We traveled. We recorded in major studios. And I think I took all that knowledge when I was really young. And when I was around 17, 18, I just started doing it myself. I built a studio in my house and started recording my own records and putting them online. And it was very DIY at first. And it just kind of all snowballed from there.
Wow. So you're 30 now? Is that okay? Yep. So what have you learned in the...
Yeah, so much.
Yeah,
a lot.
I was gonna say, what's your attitude like from 17 to 25 to now?
Yeah. You know, when I first got involved in music, I feel like that's always the feeling that I think artists chase, is that like uninhibited, no one else's opinions matter, you're just totally in this creative space before anyone's heard your art, before anyone's ever like had a perspective of like what you should or shouldn't do. It's so magical when you're creating your first project. And I think that's why so many people refer to artists' first projects like, oh, that one was so special, like I really loved that, because you just can never really create that type of environment again.
The privacy that comes with.
And like the purity.
Yeah.
The unjadedness, the untouchedness, like the raw, just you are connecting with like the universe and like just feeling all of your intuition, and nothing else really matters at that point. And so I think that was really where I started, with this like really pure energy, like, oh, this is going to be easy. It's going to be amazing. Like, I don't think I really realized how it would then affect me over the next few years when I started, I guess, playing the game, then trying to figure out, okay, how do I navigate within the system? Like, do I make records that sound more like this because people are saying, okay, these will be more successful? Do I follow my instincts? Like, where do I fit in this landscape? And I think also just being like a really young woman, I would go into those studios by myself and it'd be like all these dudes that have been making music for 25 years being like, no, this is what you should do. And I'd kind of be like, well, I want to be a good collaborator. You know, I respect these people. I want to listen to them. And so I think it was a very, you know, slow burn of how it kind of went from me having like this very pure energy to feeling like I kind of have lost like my sense of who I am as a creative. Like, this is not worth it to me. And that was probably around 25.
Like, you stopped enjoying what you were doing?
I stopped trusting myself as a creative and my opinions. Like, I started questioning, like, do I have good ideas?
Yeah.
Can I write good songs by myself? Like, do I need all this other help? It just kind of started messing with my head. And so around, yeah, I think I was 25 when I decided, okay, I'm going to go independent. I'm going to leave my record label. I'm going to leave this system. I'm just going to make what I want to make and focus on my art and being creative. And fuck it, if it doesn't work out, it's a risk I'm willing to take because it's not something that I'm willing to give up, like my sense.
Well, you also wanted to be happy, I'm sure. Of course. And you had stopped, right?
Yeah. And so I think that was a big shift for me in regaining that. All of that, like the confidence in myself, the confidence in my music, the confidence in my art. And I think that now I'm making some of my best work. I feel so much more empowered as a woman, as a creative. And so, yeah, stepping into 30, I think that's when you're really like, oh, I know my shit. And you feel like you could kind of back it up a little bit more, you know, with your experience and your maturity and all the things that you've been through to get you up to this point. So I'm feeling really good about all the new stuff and really optimistic and really good.
I feel like there's so many parallels, obviously your experience with music, but I think a lot of women I know have had that experience of entering an industry, trying to find the balance of being like, you know, humble about what they know and also being like, no, I have a reason to be here.
Absolutely.
You've collaborated with so many people. Yeah, it's amazing. Like your list is, I have it here. It's like Britney Spears, Schoolboy Q, Travis Scott, Justin Bieber, Kate Renata, Future, Offset. I want to just hear a little bit about those collabs. Yeah. What has that been like to work with those people?
I've been very lucky in my career. I've been very blessed to do a lot of really amazing things. And I think that that's one thing that I really pride myself is that I have this like longevity and the fact that I've been able to work with so many people. I love the collaborative process. So being able to collaborate with people is like really, really fun for me and just kind of seeing what perspective they bring to the table and getting in the studio with someone is really fun and kind of seeing like their perspective. For example, like I'll just throw one out there, like Future. Watching Future construct a song in real time and like watching him get behind the mic and be like, and then be like one more time and then boom, it's like a Future verse. It's like, you know, that's like it's crazy. Just, it's cool to see it happen in real time. And that's like a special experience that people don't really get to.
That's nice.
Ever
you can
see.
Appreciate that.
Yeah.
I feel like because you've been around for so long and whatever, you could just be like, yeah, whatever. It's Future throwing a verse down.
Yeah.
But like to me, that sounds so cool.
It is cool. It's fun to see that process. And it's fun to kind of like learn from other people also, like, okay, how would they approach a record? Like, kind of just. I think the best part of collaborative process is bringing like everyone's energy together and it kind of makes like this, the ideal version of that is it makes the art better, right? It makes the song better, it makes you better, it makes each other better by that collaboration. So that's one of my favorite things about.
Do you have a favorite collaborator?
I mean, yeah, Britney Spears.
Really? Tell me about collaborating with her.
That was probably like a dream come true. Like that's my biggest like pinch me moment that I've had in my career.
Wow.
Because Baby One More Time was the first album I ever bought. And Britney Spears was like my queen when I was young. So to like have that full circle moment of like, oh, I was just like a little kid with like the enhanced CD watching her music videos on loop and being like, oh my God, she's so cool. And then here I am like working with her, dancing with her. That was probably like the most starstruck I've ever been. Like it was just really cool to see.
That's magical. That little girl inside of you has got to have that moment. Who's your dream collaboration? Who would you like to collaborate with that you haven't?
James Blake, Andre 3000, SZA,
ooh.
Rosalia.
Oof, all my favorites right there.
Janet, Sade.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Sade. Yeah.
The legends.
I have to say Rosalia and you would make some magic. You and SZA too.
Fire.
Yeah. She was actually somebody I was thinking about who at one point was slept on and now.
Oh, yeah.
Is not
had
no
her
longer
full moment.
Motomami, but
yes,
like she definitely had a moment where I was like, how come this person isn't the biggest pop star in the world?
Yeah.
And I think it's so cool she did it all speaking Spanish too, singing Spanish.
So cool.
What about the Janet Jackson tribute?
That was fun.
Tell me about that.
That was really cool because I think she kind of, oh, I heard rumor has it, she personally chose who got to be in the tribute. And it was me, Sierra, and who's the third person? Was it Usher?
I don't know, girl.
I do not remember.
You're like, but I was there.
That was a few years ago, but I was there. Yeah, it was really, really, really cool just to be able to, again, just all these moments where I feel like I had, like, someone that I really idolized and then got to be connected with them somehow really felt very affirming for me as, I guess, an artist and also just like a human being, because it was like, wow, this is so surreal. Like, Janet Jackson to me is the bar when it comes to artistry. Amazing performer, amazing music, doesn't subscribe to genre, so smart, so cool, amazing music videos. Such amazing. Shit. Just all around, top to bottom, 10 out of 10. Mm-hmm. So to me, you know, she's the bar. So okay. That was really, really cool.
That's amazing.
But my hat fell off. That was a bummer.
Oh, really? Okay, I have to watch it back.
Yeah, I did something like this, and then my hat fell off.
I was like, I bet you still looked amazing. How often are you making music?
A few days. It depends on, like, what cycle I'm in. Like, right now, I'm pretty much focused on press, so I haven't really been in the studio. But if I'm not, then I'll get in the studio, like, a few days a week. Or for me, my favorite thing to do is to really lock in when I'm in like a studio mode. So I kind of want to be like, we're going to work 5 days a week. We're going to work 7 days a week for the next month, as opposed to like here and there sprinkling it in, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, I kind of like to lock in.
You have your on and off mode.
Yeah.
What's your off mode like?
Off mode, I like to be outside. I like to hike around, you know, very LA. Like, I like to see the sun.
I was going to say you're a California girl for sure.
Yeah, I like to be outside and in the sun and like, see my family and just hang out, play video games.
Chill. Chill. I wanted to ask you, I know that the album's called BB Angel, and I heard you talk about how the album's name was inspired by the idea of screen names and online personas.
Yeah.
I was curious if you remember some of your early screen names, because we're the same age. Okay, tell me.
Of course. Okay, well, my AIM name was Divalicious X3.
Oh, wow. That's a good one.
It was a good
That's
one.
That's a good one.
DVA. There was no I. So Divalicious X3. I feel like that I had that one for a long time. That was like my main one.
That's a really good one.
That was my main thing.
AIM was such a time and a place on the internet. AIM was weird. I remember like using my parents' Mac computer and like turning it on with my foot.
The
and,
dial like, up. You're
yes.
Like,
yeah, exactly. I mean, this is so, this is the kind of shit that like Gen Z hears and they're like, what are they saying?
So
no, I mean, it's psychotic. And then just sitting there and like definitely talking to like strangers, which is scary. Yeah. It's really not okay. Switching gears a little bit. Are you single right now? What's up?
Super single.
Okay.
How does it feel? I've been single for a while.
Really? How long?
5 years.
Oh, wow.
A while.
I respect that.
Yeah.
How do you like being single?
Yeah, it's so peaceful.
It's so peaceful.
It's so peaceful. It's like, it kind of gives me the heebie-jeebies to think about like sharing my space with someone now.
Totally.
Or like compromising like what I want to watch on TV and what I want to eat for dinner. Like I like having that, I don't know.
Freedom.
Autonomy.
Yes.
Whenever I get into relationships, I'm like the type of girl who's like, I'm all in or all out.
Tell me about, I know you've talked a lot about like, breakups and your last breakup and how hard that was for you and like that you know went through this like drinking phase.
Oh,
and
yeah.
No, I want to hear everything because I'm a little over a year single now.
I mean, it was just something that I felt very like unequipped to handle at the time because I feel like it was very like blindsided by the fact that like it was in the media. Like I've never had any type of like negative media, you know, controversial, anything like that. So I was very much like, what the fuck is going on? And I think I kind of just like blacked out for 6 months. Like I don't know what I did, but I just kind of like put on a happy face and like kept going. But I was definitely just kind of like self-medicating and like just trying to like block out all the stuff that was happening because it was like the only way that I could process.
Was that your first public breakup?
Oh, yeah.
And only.
Yeah.
That's so hard, man, to like deal with it and then have to see the world have opinions.
Yeah. And then like go out. And I think at the time, if I remember correctly, I was just leaving my record label. So it was like all of these transitions happening at once. And I was like on my own, like, what am I going to do next? But I think the best part about that was I was able to flip it and like pour it into like something really dope. And I think I made my best album after that, which is Songs for You.
Yeah.
So Well, one of them.
Well, maybe this one will be
the next best one. Maybe.
Was that your last relationship?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And so do you feel like you're turned off to relationships because of that experience? Or is it just kind of like you found your inner peace and you're like, I'm good on this for now?
Hmm. I don't know if I can directly correlate where I am now to then. Like, it's not like I'm necessarily like still feeling like traumatized the way I was back then. But I do think that in a way it does make me like a little bit more guarded, especially when it comes to like any type of like celebrity relationship. Because I don't know, it's just like, it was so much. It's like, I don't know if I would want to do that again. But then I also like don't know if I would like date just like a regular guy. I don't know where I could fall in. Like, so I don't really know like what my future holds in terms of like dating relationships.
I mean, you're focused on just your work. Vibing. Yeah, that, I love that for you. You said that a lot of the kind of whatever went into that album, were there other things that you did to cope and like get out of that blackout 6 month period?
I mean, music really, 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 really helped. And yeah, just having like good friends and family and just being able to put it all in art. There's nothing more cathartic and like a better way to really like transmute and process your emotions than to put it into like a song or something. Because then you feel like if you have something that's on your chest, like there's something I wanted to say, or like I wanted, you know, to set the record straight, or you know, I want to say my piece, or you just like have any type of feeling, thought, emotion, thing that you can't get off your chest, art is the best way to do it. And then once it's out, it's like, oh, you just feel so much lighter.
You release it, really,
really, really.
Yeah,
do.
You put it into something, and something that other people can share, and
that is fun and beautiful and exciting, and you could go play shows, and so it turns something from like this negative experience into something that's really positive. Like so many people have come in. Like there's this one song that I wrote that's called "Saving for Us." That was like in the depth of my heartbreak. You know, I wrote this like really kind of sad song, and since then so many people have kind of like said to me how much that song in particular means to them, or like how much that helped them get through like whatever they were going through with their own breakup. And I've just, it makes you realize like how connected people feel when they can share experiences, and like how amazing it is to be honest and be vulnerable through your art and be able to bring people together like that.
So. I was just going to say, it's such a beautiful thing. I mean, heartbreak is obviously one of the most painful things you can experience in your life, but sounds like you really felt it.
Yeah.
You didn't avoid it. Yeah. You just kind of were like, I am heartbroken now. Mm-hmm. I'm going to make some music. I'm going to do whatever I have to do. Even I'm sure if that meant like getting drunk too much, whatever. Kind of like you got to just do what you got
to
do.
Sometimes you just have to feel your feelings. Yes. You can't just like mask them forever. And sometimes that really helps to just move on, get better, move forward.
I want to talk to you about your show.
You may have heard of the podcast Juicy Scoop. Wondered what it is? Why aren't you listening? Well, I'm its host, created it, been doing it for 7 years. I'm Heather McDonald of Juicy Scoop with Heather McDonald. Now, I could tell you why you should be listening to my show, but my listeners wanted to write the ad for me, and here are some of the things they said. Not your regular Juicy podcast. Catch up on all the juicy topics from Hollywood and pop culture to true crime and beyond. Heather McDonald's Juicy Scoop always has great guests, great laughs, and great gossip. It's a comedian's take on the hottest headlines. Juicy Scoop is the pop culture news you want to hear. No BS, no filter, no filler. Raw, real, and in the moment. Throw in the hilarity of amazing comedians that you'll instantly be obsessed with, a juicy crime story, and a dash of normal life in LA moments, and you've got yourself an amazing week of Juicy Scoop. 2 episodes every week, every Tuesday and Thursday. It will never let you down.
Welcome back to High Low with Emrata.
You were just on this competition show called Stars on Mars. Yeah, how would you describe it?
It was a reality show about stars living on Mars. But it wasn't really Mars. We were in like the Australian outback.
Okay.
And to be fair, I said yes to the opportunity because I thought that it was going to be like even more spacey. Like I thought we were like really going to get like deep into the space simulation vibe. Like I thought there was gonna be like anti-gravity, or like we'd get to go in a rocket or something crazy, but it was a little bit more reality TV than like maybe I thought
anticipated.
It would be.
Yeah. You're like, wait, when do I get to float?
Yeah, I was like, when are this space things happening.
Wait, but that's so funny.
It was cool, though. It was fun. It was a unique experience. I like doing random stuff, though.
How long were you doing that?
3 weeks.
Okay, so it's quick.
Yeah, it was quick, but it was 24 hours a day. They were filming us and listening to us 24 hours a day, which is weird. If you've ever been in a situation like that, it's weird.
I'm really sure. And then watching it back, was it strange to see how they edited everything?
Yes. And I had a lot of anxiety at first because I was like, they are obviously taking stuff from – everyone knows that this by now, that they do that with reality TV, but they'll like Frankenstein sentences together from like multiple different days and try to make storylines that were not there. And so I was like, damn, how are they going to spin this? This is a little scary. But it ended up being okay. It was like fun and lighthearted. And
you were happy with how they portrayed you.
Yeah.
I heard that there was a Adam Rippon was – he was talking about how he was determined to get to the end of the show with you and how you gave him your blessing to continue without you. I'm curious about, like, the bonds you formed and what it was like.
Yeah. I mean, I did make some really cool friendships. I think probably one of my biggest strengths on the show, like, why I was there till the end was because I was able to be cool with everyone in the house. Like, yeah, I think I could just, like, float between, like, all the different types of people. There were, like, athletes. There was just actors. There were, you know, all the cast of characters. So it was kind of cool to be able to, like, meet new people, get outside of your comfort zone, do all that. But Adam was real sweet. That's so cute. Yeah.
You seem like you have a very – even just when you came into the studio, sometimes people come in and they're nervous. They've been doing a lot of press. They're, like – and they can't even focus.
Yeah,
and
you
just seem very calm. Have you always been that way?
I think so.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. I think I get that from my dad.
Okay.
My dad is so calm. He's the calmest guy I've ever met in my life. Like, the building could be on fire and he'd be like, you guys, the building's on fire. Like, we should head towards the stairs. Like, he's so cool, calm, and collected. He's never raised his voice. I think it's a really good skill to cultivate.
Yeah, I'm loving it.
Yeah, thanks.
It's like a good energy that you bring, which is just very calm. Because I had kind of a hectic morning and I came in and I was like, oh, a little late, whatever. And then Nero was just like, what's up?
Yeah,
that's
thanks.
Nice. I think it's really rare, especially for people in the public eye, because you do get so caught up with how people perceive you because it's tied to your livelihood. Have you had moments like that?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Okay.
Of course. I think for me, I have really, really grown to know who I am. And I think that that's when you find that sense of like, okay, I'm solid because I know myself. I know what I like. I know what I don't like. I know what I think is cool. I know what I think is not cool. Like, I'm very true to myself, very authentic. And I think that that's when you're trying to like mask or you're trying to put on, you're trying to hide things or whatever. That's when you kind of like feel like the cracks are kind of showing or, you know.
When did that
happen
for you where you were like, okay, was it when you went independent or?
Even before then, because I feel like it was a very kind of slow burn as I was, I guess, mentally feeling like I was going down some rabbit hole. There was an album that I wanted to put out in 2015 called Joyride. And there was kind of disagreements of whether we should put that album out for like 4 years. Like I didn't get that album out for 4 years. And for me, that was the worst 4 years ever because I was like, I just want to release my album. I just want to release my art. Like, let's just put it out there. Like, I want to do more stuff. I want to travel. I want to tour. And so I think during those 4 years was when I felt like, oh, I was starting to crack. I was starting to see this sense of like, I'm maybe trying to appease them. I'm trying to fit into some box that like isn't true to who I am. I'm trying to also like appease the public because they all also have these weird perceptions of me, especially after that breakup and stuff. Like now, like I have all this in the mix, you know, things like that. And so, I think that it was around that time.
So how old were you? Like 20?
Yeah, I was like 20. Between, I'd say, 23 and 25.
Yeah. Okay. So you came through it early, which is kind of good in some ways.
Yeah.
If you had kids, would you get them into music as early as you and like entertainment or would you wait?
I think it's a real case by case basis because I've heard so many things from, you know, other actors and child stars and people like that who did not have the same kind of like positive experiences that I had or, you know, kind of felt like they were more forced into things or doing things they didn't really want to do. And so I think that you just have to be very cognizant of that. I'm very, you know, aware of that as a parent, mm-hmm. and, you know, being able to push your kid, but also realizing if you do have a kid that's very passionate about something, like being able to nurture that is important. So I think, yeah, it's a balance and it takes some discernment. And I would, yeah, I don't know, I guess if I meet my kid and they're like, I really want to do this, then I'd consider it for sure.
Did you have experiences like that, or were your parents very?
No, my parents were. They were super, super chill. They let me kind of lead, because I felt like.
Did you have experiences with entertainment as a young person where you were like, "Whoa, that's a situation I did not like."
Mm-hmm. You know what? I think the biggest thing that I was in terms of situations that I didn't like, it's like the dynamic of like an audition process as a kid. Like that is very. You kind of feel commodified because there's like 100 of girls that look like you, and you walk into these rooms and you don't feel like anyone really sees you. You're kind of like wallpaper, you know, they're just like next, next, next. And also just the rejection process, like at such a young age, like being rejected for something that you like really care about, like maybe you had like a role you really wanted and like to not get it, and like those little mini heartbreaks over and over again. I think that it was both like hard for me, but it also taught me a lot and maybe toughened me up in a lot of ways when it came to like music and maybe growing up a little bit faster. But yeah, I would say that was the most negative experience I had. Like I was very lucky that my parents were, you know, super like attentive on set and stuff. Like I was never in like any super weird situations or anything like creepy, like horror stories you hear.
Yeah, I remember because I started modeling when I was like 14 and I was acting too. And I remember driving, I'm from San Diego, so driving up from Southern California, like 2.5 hour drive, going into a room where it was just like all brown haired girls.
Yeah.
Around the same whatever, and me just being like,
what am I gonna do?
And it was just such a weird experience, and it is such an industry, like mm-hmm. you walk in and it's like this, you know, person who's a casting director and they barely register you, mm-hmm. they kind of look up, and the whole thing was really hard. But I do actually think the rejection, as difficult as that was, it is a really great lesson, and I do think it can aid in kind of making you prepared for the future and learning to like just not invest so much of your self-worth
absolutely
into other people's approval, essentially.
Absolutely.
The biggest lesson that I learned very young was like there are 20 different factors that go into this person choosing you or not choosing you for this project, and that really helped me kind of in all areas of my life. You've talked a little bit about being pitted against other Black women in the industry. What's that experience been like from when you first started to now? And do you think it's getting better?
We'll be right back with more Tinashe after this break.
Welcome back to High Low with Emrata.
I do think it is getting better in a way, because I feel like it takes the people on the inside to like be like, we're not going to subscribe to this, in order for any of that to change, because people are always going to try. They're always going to attempt to pitch you against someone. And yeah, it did start very young when you'd see the same girls at the audition and you're like, hey, and like maybe they booked the one you wanted last time. You're like, this one's mine. Mm-hmm. That it starts that kind of competitive energy. And I think that when you're competitive with other women, that's really when it starts, because you feel like, oh, there's only like two seats at the table or a seat at the table, and we both have to fight to be there. So yeah, I think it's realizing there's so much room for everyone. Like there's so many tables, so many seats, and we can all actually support each other, and it makes each other stronger, in fact, to support each other instead of competing against one another.
The abundance mentality versus absolutely the scarcity. Mm-hmm. I'm curious though, do you feel like that comes from the industry, or does it also kind of come from fans, that sort of pitting against?
Oh, yeah, fans do that all the time. Fans are very toxic when it comes to like competition and like stan wars, and they'll be on Twitter like fighting with other fan bases for no reason, creating like beefs that like are not even
there. That don't exist.
Yeah, so it definitely is a toxic, you know, environment when it comes to just how the public perceives you. But I think that this is probably an issue with just women in general in life, because I feel like we live in a patriarchy, right? And we're like made to feel like we have to fight each other and we have to compete each other in order to like prove ourselves or our worth or something. So yeah, I'm sure it's not super abnormal.
Yeah, no, I mean, I've definitely experienced that. And I do feel that's one of the beautiful things about getting older is you just sort of like, and I think culturally we have dropped the mean girl cool thing. Like that is not okay to be mean girl now.
So lame.
I feel when we were even 5-10 years ago, it was kind of cool still.
Yeah.
There was something kind of cutthroat, bitchy, like she's like a killer. And I do think that's changed in a really beautiful way. And people come to set with good energy just move through the world. But yeah, it's definitely a shame to see that. But you think it's gotten better?
I think it's getting better. I think we have to just continue. It's a conscious effort, but you just have to kind of continue to do. It's support your sisters, support your sisterhood, support womanhood, support, you know, I think it just reflects back on you. And like you said, it's really all a mindset too.
Totally. So one of the things when I was looking you up and reading about you, it was like, there's a lot of people who are like, Tinashe is the most slept on artist. Like she's been there forever and she's just slept on. It's kind of like a running joke online. And I'm just curious what that feels like from your side. Do you even feel that way or what is your feeling?
You know what? It's interesting because like in a way, sure, I could agree. Like I feel like there's places and spaces and things that I would have felt that I could have accomplished by now that maybe I like haven't. And at the same time, I can't really exist with that in my mind. Like you can't function thinking you're an underdog or you're always going to be an underdog. Like you can't internalize those things too much. So as much as like I know it comes from a good place, so I appreciate when people are like, oh, you're so underrated. I know that they're meaning that as a compliment, but I don't feel that way in my heart. Maybe I am underrated, but like it's better to be underrated than overrated. I don't know.
Hell yeah. I was actually just going to say that I think there's something to be said for burning a slow candle.
Yeah,
and
sure.
I do think that that's something you've done really, really well. And, you know, we've all seen like what it happens when you burn out and you have that moment. That moment passes and then it's really hard. And I feel you are chugging along. And like, also there is an honest kind of just excitement about your own work that feels really genuine. And it doesn't feel like you're just doing it for other people, which is really rare and nice.
I think one of the biggest things that helped me to get to this mindset is zooming out in terms of like looking at my career and really focusing on like a big picture and a legacy. Like I really look at my career as like, okay, when I look back on this 30 years from now, am I going to be proud of what I've done? Like what's my whole legacy? Like where am I going to go in 5 years and 10 years and kind of focus more on that story as opposed to like, okay, right now this song, like how's it doing? Let's check the numbers. Like, you know, how many streams we get today? Like instead of focusing on these like tiny mini milestones, kind of like zooming out and focusing on like big milestones.
That's a really great strategy for anyone in general. Yeah. I think people get so obsessed, especially now there's so much data to collect.
Oh my gosh.
Just in general, anything you're doing, just if you're counting your personal likes on Instagram, whatever, all the time, that's a really dangerous game to play. But obviously a lot of people do subscribe to
it. Of course, yeah.
Ultimately doesn't lead to happiness, I think.
Yeah.
What are you looking forward to most coming up like in the future?
Yeah, I mean, I'm really looking forward to touring in the fall. And, you know, hopefully I want to go around the world, just get out there. I love to travel. I love to, like, see new places. I want to, like, do as much of that as I possibly can right now while I have the energy and, like, still enjoy it and love it. And then, yeah, I mean, just creating more art. That's really all I think about. It's like, oh, this is so fun.
Okay. So at the end of every interview, we do kind of like a lightning round of questions.
Fun.
What's on your For You page?
My For You page is, well, on which platform?
TikTok.
On TikTok?
Yeah.
My For You page is full of like cooking videos, like gardening tips.
Mm-hmm.
I also get like news.
Okay.
So like I'm finding like news, entertainment news, and then like a lot of like weird random household stuff.
Okay. And that's
I love to garden.
Is that different from Instagram?
Yeah.
Okay. What's Instagram?
Instagram's like makeup.
Okay.
A lot of like makeup.
Mm-hmm. It is weird how
nails.
They serve different things.
Yeah.
Yeah. What are your icks? What turns
My
you
icks.
Off? Yeah.
Oh gosh. Okay. Someone who's like too jealous of what I do.
Mm.
Like if you're gonna make me feel weird about someone I'm in the studio with, the fact that I have to work at night, the fact that I have to go to events, the fact that I have to look hot or any of those things. Ew.
Yes. Are you talking about men specifically?
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you experienced that a lot?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Me too.
Yeah. But it was more so when I was younger, I think, because, yeah, I don't know. I don't really, like, I just wouldn't entertain that necessarily anymore. But when I was younger, I kind of was, I would let them more.
Yes. No, the second somebody would do that to me now.
Yeah, I'd be like, are you crazy?
You can leave.
Yeah, are you crazy?
Yeah, no.
So, yeah, that's a big I got that a lot
of like, I can't believe this is what you do for work. Like, you call this work.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, cooler like, than your job.
What do you do? Yeah. Yeah, I think it's a jealousy thing.
Totally.
Yeah, that is a big ick for me, honestly, too. Who's made you starstruck?
Britney Spears.
Okay. She's, do you have a celebrity crush?
Not anymore. Mm. I had one when I was younger.
Who was it younger? When you were younger?
Chad Michael Murray.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, very
such a pretty boy.
I know.
Okay.
Changed.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
No, I don't like the pretty boy. I never really did.
I don't like blonde guys anymore. Yeah. So I don't know what I was on back then.
Yeah. It's funny. I've never said I like blonde guys, but now I have a blonde baby and I'm like, guess I like blonde babies. I like blonde guys. Cute. What is the biggest misconception about you? What do people always think?
I think maybe the biggest misconception would be that maybe people think I'm really outgoing or like I'm really like, you know, I think being in the public eye, people expect you to be very on or like very a lot or like very in your face. And I don't really feel like I'm very in your face. Like, I feel like I'm just kind of like chill and like, I'm kind of like, let's see what happens. Like, I don't know.
Why do you think people think that because of the way you perform?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Seeing me on stage is totally different. Like, I have this big sense of, like, confidence. Like, boom, energy. Look at me. I'm the center of attention. But, like, I don't feel that way in my day-to-day life. But I totally embody that energy, like, on stage in a photo shoot and a video shoot, things like that. And I also just think the industry in general, people just expect people who are in the public to like to be in the public all the time, if that makes sense.
How do you tap into that, like, look at me energy?
It just comes over me. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's just in me.
So is it always in you?
It's just in me.
Does it ever come out personally?
Not really. No, I wish it came out more. I wish it came out more.
Do you attribute this to like star signs or anything, or is it just you?
Yeah. Well, I got my Leo moon. So it definitely, I feel that like within my art and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then I guess like I'm also an Aquarius. Like that's my big, you know, sun sign.
Okay.
So I feel the most Aquarius, but the Leo comes out.
What's your rising? Sorry, I'm
Taurus.
Gonna be that. Okay, okay.
I don't really identify with that as much. That one's kind of like.
But you come off chill and like strong,
yeah.
So that's
okay.
I don't know. I don't know shit. I don't know what I'm saying. Acting like I'm an expert.
No, we love it.
How would you like to be remembered?
I think the biggest thing that I want people to remember me for is being fearless. I think. Being able to kind of create my own path, not subscribing to trends, not trying to follow anything in particular, but to just kind of like be myself and take risks and be fearless. So hopefully, I think I want that to inspire like young artists and young women, because yeah. I do think that when you come into the industry, there's a lot of, it's hard to just put yourself out there.
Totally.
And it's hard to create your own art, and it's hard to, you know, have your own perspective.
Do you have kind of a line you would like to deliver to people who are interested in, young women in particular, who are interested in entering this space?
Yeah. I think my biggest piece of advice would be learn how to record your own music. I think that gives you such a big advantage if you can not need another producer or an engineer in order to like make the art yourself. If you're sitting around waiting for someone to like help you make it, that's already a step that you can take control of yourself. So I would like to empower young women to like learn how to engineer, go on YouTube, get these programs, get your hands dirty, record your own vocals, produce yourself, like really just develop those skills so that no one can tell you.
You don't have to rely on other people.
You don't have to rely on anyone else.
Right. Okay, that's amazing advice. That's really great. I was unexpected and it makes sense to me. What scares you?
What scares me? Running out of time to do everything I want to do. Time goes really fast nowadays.
It does. It gets faster and faster too.
Yeah, that's kind of not not chill.
Wait until you have a kid. It's literally mind-blowing how time it just flies because they're growing.
And I guess
so
you can see it like happen so like literally in front of you. This because kid growing.
Now you are when you don't have a kid, you're like, oh, that was a few years ago, a couple of years ago. And then you're like, no, that was exactly 2.5 years ago.
Right.
And this child was this way. And now, you know. All right. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to come in. It was I'm really excited to hear the album and just excited to see where what takes you, what the next 10 years look like.
That's it for this episode. I'm back on Thursday with Emrata Asks. We've got upcoming episodes on topics like internet linguistics, hip hop and high fashion, the strikes in Hollywood, misogyny and perfectionism. I want to hear from you. Tell me what has stood out to you today, and I will try to respond to as many comments on the show. Love to hear your thoughts on what Tinashe had to say, and also would like to hear how you guys are feeling about some of the music-related guests. Would you like to see more of them, less? Go to highlow.fm to submit your voice notes, or call and leave me a message on the High Low hotline. That's 42 High Low 4. If you're watching or listening on YouTube or Spotify, you can also just leave comments on there. And always feel free to join the conversation on social media using the hashtag #HighLow. See you all on Thursday.
High Low with Emrata is a Sony Music Entertainment and Bitch Era Media production. Our executive producers are me, Emily Radikowski, Matt Raz, and Sarita Wesley. Our showrunner is Matt Raz. Our associate producer is Rachel Choder. Today's episode was engineered by Samantha Gatzik with original music by The Crystal Pharaoh.